You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Monday. Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be diving into a new passage in the Word of God today. We're going to be over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as you're turning over there, I want to say happy birthday to some folks. There was a birthday yesterday, a birthday today for people that I know, and a birthday tomorrow for someone that is very near and dear, and then a birthday again over the weekend. So this time of year is one of those. We have a couple of times during the year where there are so many birthdays that there's a lot of birthday cake consumption that goes on. That's never a good thing for me. Today, I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is owned and operated by Pastor Dennis. He pastors over in the Geneva area, but they live here in Brevard County. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge. They've got over 50 years of professional sales service and repairs in air conditioning and heating. They work primarily in residential settings, some light commercial settings. They provide emergency service when necessary, and their service area goes all throughout Brevard County, all the way down to Barefoot Bay, all the way up to Scottsmore. And so if you're looking for a reputable company that will treat you well, that does a great job at a great value, they may be the resource that you are looking for. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. It is Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. License number is CAC-182-1309. They are a blessing to so many people in Brevard County, bringing the skill set, and their customers are not afraid that they're being taken advantage of, because Pastor Dennis brings the values of the Word to the business. He's not looking to take advantage of people. He's looking to be a blessing to people and help them keep their cool in the summer heat. And there's been a lot of heat. There's been a lot of ACs that needed to be repaired too. So make sure you have someone that you know is going to be doing things the right way at the right price, and doing it to give you the best solution possible. Wyrick Air, we thank them for being friends of the Refresh radio program. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in all transparency, this is a passage of scripture that I absolutely love. There were a lot of problems in Corinth, okay? And so a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to go to church, there's hypocrites there. Well, there may be just saints in development. There may be some hypocrites, but there may be saints in development. And the church in Corinth had a lot of wonderful things going on, but they also had some problematic areas. And so I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. But before I do that, There's a verse in chapter 1, verse number 24 that I want to read. And it says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So I want you to know that the gifts of the Spirit, they operate, they are power gifts. There's also the wisdom of God. And to walk in faith, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in power, those things are not competing with wisdom. They're complementary of one another. All of the attributes of God work together. They're not combating one another. And so anytime you see that there is conflict in the church, there's something that is out of alignment there. And what you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we get ready to read that passage, is that Paul had different approaches to the same people during different seasons. Okay? Same people, different approaches, different strategies, different seasons. So no matter what season you are in, you need to hear from God. I preached a message here a few weeks ago. This means prayer. Doesn't matter what your day looks like, this day calls for prayer. It calls for having face-to-face discussions, if you will, having intentional one-on-one consult with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because you need to know what to do, and he knows what to do. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, for of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So Paul always had an intent to go to places that the gospel had not been yet. He wasn't going to the same places that everybody else was going. Now he did revisit churches that he had planted many times, and he built relationship with those people. But here in chapter 2, he describes his first coming to Corinth, and he said, I did not come with excellence of speech. There are some people who are very, very good speakers. You may not know everything that is going on to make them such good speakers. So there are some people who are really phenomenal at giving a particular speech, and the reason that they're so good at it is that's the only thing that they have to prepare sometimes for an entire year. And so let me just put this out there for the pastors. Pastors prepare a lot of messages. Most pastors. I do not have a sermon subscription service. I don't have a menu that other people are providing to me and saying, this is what you need to preach. I don't have any of that. I figure that my job as a pastor is to know what the need of my flock is, and so I need to hear from the one who knows them better than me, and that's God. Now, I can hear stories. I can hear some points. There are things that I have picked up from other people, and if those are applicable to the moment and to the message, then I got no problem sharing that information. But there's not just a source that I have that says, okay, here's what you're preaching for the next, 26 weeks or whatever. Now, there are some who travel around and they give the same message every place they go, and whenever that's the style in which you operate, if you've only got one message, you ought to be very good at the delivery of that. A person told me, okay, that the average pastor, if they are preparing three messages a week, that over the course of a year, that if they're praying, if they're studying, if they're developing and delivering the message, that over the course of the year, they have used the same amount of creative energy that is necessary to write three books. So let me tell you about mine. I've got 5 radio programs and at least 2, sometimes 3, sometimes more than that, different messages that I'm delivering every single solitary week. So if you are listening to, and I think you should avail yourself of good biblical preaching and teaching that's available on the radio, that is available on YouTube or Christian television, whatever it might be. I think you should avail yourself of that. But what I want to encourage you is don't hold your pastor to that same standard that you are seeing, because that person may only preach 20 or 25 different messages in the course of a year, and they may be preaching the same message that they've preached over and over and over again. And they may be preaching with a teleprompter that your pastor doesn't have. And I know that that's the case, because one time I was at a pastor's conference. It was a ministry conference. And one of the preachers that was there had a television ministry. And when they are on television, they come across as seamless. They come across as super well oil delivery. They don't make verbal blunders. They don't say thes and uhs and ands the way that I do or anything like that. And honestly, I was like, man, they are really, really good at that. And there are people who are excellent at giving speeches. I don't want to minimize that at all. But at this conference, they weren't set up with the same tools that they had. They weren't there because they were recording a television broadcast. They were there to speak to pastors, and they conducted themselves in speech the same way that every other person, you know, everybody puts their pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And so what you may not know is there's a tremendous amount of editing that many of those ministries do in order to get it down to time constraints, but they also can edit out a lot of things that you wouldn't know were in there if you weren't part of the editing process. So you say, why are you saying this? I believe that we should operate with a spirit of excellence. I believe that we should be striving to get better and better. But Paul said, I didn't come to you because my speech was excellent. My presentation was unbelievable. The Greeks had a history of being impressed, and sometimes they would look for the verbal blunder that a person made. And there was a person who was candidating to be elected to this office, and he intentionally made a verbal blunder to get the crowd to call out his opponent because of the verbal blunder that he made. He manipulated them because of his excellent speech. Listen, I believe that we should prepare ourselves to be the best communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ to unbelievers as we possibly can be. But it will never be about the fluency or the giftedness of our speaking ability that changes their heart. It will always be the Holy Spirit taking what is spoken and directing it to those people's hearts and bringing them to the place of salvation. So Paul says, look, and he was well trained. He said, I didn't come to you in excellence of speech, and I didn't come to you with the wisdom, and he's specifically talking about the wisdom of the world here, because there are entire industries where wisdom and human observation is utilized in such a way to get people to want to do some things. I don't know if they still do it or not. It may have been banned, but there used to be subliminal advertising that went in, and it was just one little blurb, real quick, a frame. And if you were watching it, you wouldn't even see it, but it was designed to create, you know, knowing that your eye would pick it up, and if it happened enough, you'd want to go buy something. So if you went to the movies, and I don't know if this is one of the examples or not, and all of a sudden there's just this real quick flash of a picture of popcorn, and he's like, you know what? I think I want popcorn. Well, Paul is saying here, look, I didn't come and change your heart because of how good a speaker I was, or because of the wisdom of man declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't ever forget the basics. Here in a few weeks, football season will kick off in full gear. Professional football, I think, starts in September. College starts a little bit earlier. And I heard this years ago, that when Vince Lombardi, who was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, and they were, you know, the title town is what they call Green Bay. They were very, they went from bad to being very good. They won the first two Super Bowls, and they won like three NFL championships, and they were very, very good back in the 60s, when all of those veteran football players who had played collegiately and probably played in high school, and now they were professionals and they had been doing this for years and years. He would open up spring training and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And you would think that with the great mind that he had and the success that he had, that he would talk about all of the flashy stuff and things like that. But he always kept things very simple. And for a football player, the goal was to, when we have the football, to get that football to the end zone and score a touchdown and win the game, while also preventing the other team from getting the football and scoring a touchdown. And said, if everybody does their jobs, then everything will go okay. So one time there was a organization that invited him to come and talk to him about his offense. And I don't remember how many hours they gave to him, but he discussed one play for the entire time he was there. He talked about what the center was supposed to do, the quarterback was supposed to do, the guard, the right tackle, the left tackle, the tight ends, the wide receivers, the running backs, and what they were supposed to do if the defense was aligned. He knew it very well, and it was his knowledge of the essentials that caused, I believe it was in his case, it was the power sweep to be so effective. In America, we are so enamored with hearing something new that we forget that what the world desperately needs to hear is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That if they do not believe in Jesus, they stand condemned already. And so Jesus came, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, died, was thrust through with a spear, and blood and water flowed out of his heart. They had mocked him, deprived him of sleep, deprived him of food. By the time they got him to Golgotha, he was so weak that there was a guy by the name of Simon that had to help him carry his cross. He died very quickly, but he rose again on the third day. He did not go to the cross because of sin he had committed. He went to the cross because he was the only one who could satisfy the requirements that our sin had demanded, because God is holy, and God is just, and God is perfect, and God wanted to have a restored relationship with us, and Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but by the name of Jesus. And so when Paul went to Corinth, he wasn't there for a debate. He wasn't there for politics. He wasn't there for economic reasons. He was there to make Jesus known so that people would have their sins forgiven and they would ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life. So he says, when I was with you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Okay, so let me tell you that I believe he's talking about himself here. So he wasn't there to try and overpower them. He wasn't there haphazardly, but he took the ministry to the people of Corinth to be a reverential ministry. He was in awe. He didn't, you know, I didn't want to mess things up. You know, I want God to do what God does. I want to stay out of the way and not mess things up. And he says, I wasn't there recklessly. I was there trembling. You know, what I found is that a lot of times trembling happens when you are doing something that requires such great precision that you don't want to make a mistake. What Paul was saying to the church in Corinth was, I came and I conducted myself in such a way that I did not want to be a hindrance to you hearing that Jesus died for your sins. Now, that's my take on that. I can also tell you that if it was talking about the weakness of the Corinthians, Paul says, I was with you, not when you were strong, but when you were weak. If there were people who were living bound by fear, he came and helped set them free from that. And if they were there trembling at the things that they were hearing, Paul would have been able to reassure them there. Jonathan Edwards, when he was preaching his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, the congregation that was hearing him was so overwhelmed with the spiritual realities that he was testifying. They were asking him to cut his sermon short so that they could get their life right with Jesus. I hope that we are as concerned about the lost as they were. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.